We were doing a little bit of halacha. We were dealing with the kosher kitchen. Now we're touching on something which is very relevant. When you cook and you bake, so we have to know that we cook meat, we cook milk, and it drips. It drips on the stovetop. And it's very hot. So we say that the flavor gets absorbed into the stovetop. So that means that the stovetop is technically not kosher. Meaning that we're cooking our pots and pans on top of a stovetop where meat and milk drip, and we don't bother koshering it when it drips. We clean it up, but you know, sometimes you clean it, sometimes you don't. And it's hot, so we say the flavor gets absorbed. So you have meat and milk absorbed into your stovetop. Now why is that relevant? For our pots, that's okay. But what happens if you're cooking spaghetti and you take out, or let's say you have soup cooking on the fire, and then you take out some soup, and as you're transferring it to your bowl, a potato falls on the stovetop. So now that hot potato touched a non-kosher stovetop. So it absorbed non-kosher flavor. Now you have a problem picking up that potato and eating it. Meaning ordinarily in our kitchen, we say, keep the meat separate, the milk separate, and everything's kosher. We don't keep non-kosher vessels in our kitchen. You're not allowed to keep a non-kosher vessel. You're not allowed to keep around a non-kosher bowl, and you'll say, well, I'll just eat cold cereal in it, so there's no problem. We don't do that. Our vessels have to be kosher. The one place where we have a non-kosher item in our home is really the stovetop. And this is relevant, for example, people want to burn marshmallows. So they take the marshmallow and they put it in the fire. And the fire, well, you know what? The grate around the fire is non-kosher. If it just touches that grate, it's not kosher. You shouldn't do that. Burn your marshmallows on a twig. Take a match and then burn your marshmallows. Don't stick it into that fire because any food item shouldn't come close to that. People want to heat up matzahs on Pesach. But you want the matzah to be crispy fresh. So what people sometimes do is they place it straight on the grate on a low flame. Man, the matzah gets yummy and crispy. Shouldn't do that. Shouldn't put anything straight directly on the grate. Because the grate, the stovetop, is the one area in our home which is really not kosher. And if anything comes into contact with that that's hot, so then we have a problem because the food has absorbed the non-kosher flavor.
It's possible also to have two ovens.
That's in the oven. Right now we're dealing with the stovetop. The top where you have the flame.
Two stoves.
So some people have a meat stove and a milk stove. That's very good. Yeah. Some people divide their flames. One side is meat, one side is milk. Okay, fine. That's the ideal. The person could do that. Great. Again, he should make a sign, which is the meat grate, which is the milk grate. If he could do that, good for him. We also try to keep the grate clean. And when we clean the grate, so technically we're cleaning it off of things that dripped on the grate. Well, it could be that one time part of my cheese dripped on the grate, and the next time part of my oil from the fats from the meat dripped on the grate. So I'm cleaning off non-kosher items from the grate. You could say, well, they're not edible, but sometimes you still have fats and you have fresh items on there. So when you clean off the grate, you shouldn't do it over the sink where you have your kosher dishes. Finish cleaning the kosher dishes and then clean off the grate. Even though it's cold. We don't put non-kosher foods in our kosher dishes. The only non-kosher item that a person usually has in his home is the grate, the top of the stove where you put the pots. That most people cannot afford to have a milkic one and a flacic one, meat and milk. So they use meat and milk on the same stove top. And then it drips on the grate and it drips on the stovetop. So that's stovetop. And the grates are usually non-kosher. So then when I'm cleaning it off, I could find myself cleaning off non-kosher items. So what a person should do is he should have a separate scouring bag that he knows is just for the stovetop. And when he cleans off the grate and the stovetop, he should clean it off into the sink when there are no dishes there. We don't clean off non-kosher food mixtures of meat and milk into our kosher dishes. Clear? Till here, we're together. Okay. We should also try to be careful that the dishes that we use are dry on bottom. How come we could use a non-kosher stovetop? Because we say that in order for flavor to pass from one vessel to another or to a food item, There has to be some liquid there. Between two dry items, flavor doesn't pass. So we say the bottom of the pot is dry. You put it down on the grate, so it doesn't absorb flavor because you have the fire there, but it's all dry. But if you just washed your pot, right? So then the bottom of your pot could be wet, so then it's not good. That's not the way you should do it. So a person should try to be careful that the pots that he places on the grate, being that most of us, our grates are non-kosher, most of us don't do what you said, most of us don't have a separate grate for meat and milk, so then we should take care that when we put the pots on it, that we put them on dry. Okay? One more point we should keep in mind is that if we're frying things, so the oil is hot popping, or we're cooking, sometimes you cook a soup, and it's bubbling, so it's splashing. So very often we don't care. We don't notice that it's splashing, especially us men. But ask a woman who just cleaned her pots, if she put down her clean pots next to you frying your pancakes in the morning. She'll walk in the morning and yell, "I just cleaned those pots, what's with you?" Right? You'll say, "What do you mean? I didn't touch your pot." She'll say, "Look at all the splatter, all the oil that splattered."
Yeah.
We men don't notice these things, right? Unless we're the ones that are cleaning the pots. But really, it splatters. And that's a problem because you're having hot oil splatter. So we should take care when we're frying on an open frying pan that if we're frying meat, we don't have milk on the stove top at the same time as the milk. We shouldn't fry things at the same time. We also shouldn't cook things that overflow at the same time if they're far enough apart, if you have a big enough range. So it depends on if you're frying and it's splattering, that's one thing. If it's just overflowing the pot, that's another thing. So we have to try to separate even when we're cooking. This is more relevant if you're old-fashioned like me and you use a tea kettle. So people who use tea kettle usually drink a lot of tea, and their tea kettle is always on the stovetop. That's the way it is in our house. The tea kettle is always there. It's a given. You have a stovetop, the tea kettle is there. So the tea kettle is parked, right? Because you want to keep it parked. You want to drink your tea after your meat meals. You want to drink your tea with coffee, with milk, right? So you want to keep it parked. But if the tea kettle is going to be sitting there when you're cooking meat and milk, it's splattering, and you're going to have hot juices splattering and the drops falling on the tea kettle, that's not the proper way to do it. If it happens, so call your local Orthodox rabbi, it doesn't mean there's a problem necessarily. There's always the question what we do lechatchila, how we should run our kitchen, and what happens when we messed up. Two separate questions. Here we're talking about how we set up an ideal kitchen. So when we're running our ideal kitchen, we should try to ensure that when we're frying things and we're cooking things that overflow and splatter, we should not have vessels of the other gender, milk or flation, or powered vessels on that stovetop. And this is relevant in one more instance, it's very relevant, and that is on Shabbos. When you have a little plata and you have to put all the foods up for Shabbos, and especially when you have a family simcha, so if you try to keep a chinek with hot water that's going to be powered, and you're trying to keep your cholent for tomorrow morning, and you're putting up the soup for tonight, and you're putting up two kugels, you don't have room, even when you buy a big plata. And especially if you factor in that you got to keep a distance between the fleishik and the par, so that will deal with the greater length of Zachem in the future, but technically that's where the problem arises. That's where we have to be extra careful to separate, that our meat dishes don't touch our par dishes and they don't splatter on our par or milk dishes. So Zachem to be continued. Okay. This is the class that people have been asking for about 5 years. But only Asher Chaim got it going.
Okay. And I asked by myself. I feel need about it. I said need.
I don't go only by that sefer.
Oh, yeah.
I'm using that sefer as a base.
You
We do Mekor Chaim also, but now we want it on Kashrut. So
this,
yeah, it's a good book.
It's new.
I'm using the book as a basis. I begin with
okay,
that.
Okay.
But it's a good book.
Sorry, guys, I have no time. Let's see.
Okay, we're doing a little bit on Rosh Hashanah.
Yeah.
So those of you who missed it during the Ben Ozmanim, I mean, we've been learning. So we did about the month of Elul. We finished the month of Elul. Those who call, no.
Erev Rosh Hashanah.